Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to begin at verse 1. First John chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Our prayer is that we can make it to verse 8. And when we make it to verse 8, then the lesson will be what? It will be your. It's if you want to take it. Everybody don't take it. I say that all the time, but some people leave it in their seat. First John chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. If you remember our scripture this morning in Matthew chapter 7, do you remember Jesus saying the same thing? There are many false prophets, and I want you to try them. I want you to test them. Have you noticed that in Christianity, from the mouth of Jesus and from the mouth of the disciples and the apostles, you're not supposed to just receive every spirit, but you're supposed to test spirits and try spirits. The Bible says the reason why you need to do this, because everything that looks like God is not from God. Everything that walks like God is not necessarily walking in God. So you have the responsibility. Notice this, church. You have the responsibility to check, to make sure that every connection that you have, where to place them. One of our biggest problems that we have in our lives is that we took people and we placed them in the wrong place. And then you find out later that they were never supposed to be in that position or that place or have that access to you in your life. And you can't blame anybody else. You say, God, that's my fault. I did not do proper tests to put them in the proper place. Right? So you've heard me say this before. There are some people I will have a great relationship with for all of my life as long as they stay arm's length. The moment that you put them closer, that's the end of a relationship. Matter of fact, have anybody ever got into business or ventured off into some type of arrangement with somebody who was a real, real good friend? And because they were such a real, real good friend, you decided to say, hey, let's go into business together. Let's take our life's earnings and put it in together and mingle it in, and I'm going to put my living on your behavior, and you're going to put your living on mine. Have anybody ever heard of anybody doing that or been in an arrangement? And then you find out 5-6 months later, there was a gentleman. And in this situation, it hurts because it was millions of dollars involved. He said, if I see that dude again, because when it got that much money, he stole all of the money and just caught ghost. And he had to let other employees go. He lost all of his money, and he basically had to rebuild his life. Now, he's great now. He's a millionaire now, travels all over the world, but he has a flashback of that moment when he was in a relationship with a friend, and they were doing somebody that he trusted. Somebody that he trusted betrayed him. Last weekend, I was sitting in a meeting where there was one who was telling me that he had known this friend. They were actually doing ministry together. They had he had known this friend for almost 30-something years. And out of all the years, but he had did something. He had actually did something behind his back to many people through the years. And when he was faced with it, he had to address his friend because his friend was actually hurting other people. And he was so broken because he couldn't have met my friend. Have anybody ever brought some information to you about somebody and you say, and it actually hurts you, but you said, nah, they wouldn't do that to you. You can't conceive, you can't believe. And what God is saying is, listen, you need to test spirits. Oh, you know what the problem is? You tested the spirit in 2002, but you're supposed to do an annual. You're supposed to do an annual checkup. You know, that's some stuff. How many times you get an oil change? You don't get an oil change when you first buy the car. Say, hey, that's it. I'm done. They said, no, every 3,000 miles, you need to allow us to go back in and check to make sure everything is right. There are some relationships that can't handle growth. There are some people that can't handle too much God. They didn't mind you when you first started coming to worship. They didn't mind you when you first started studying. But the problem is you got too much God in you. And when you got too much God in you, it actually will kill a relationship. So notice what the Bible, beloved, don't believe every spirit. Somebody says, believe me. No, I don't. It'll take a minute. Let me finish the test. When I finish the test, then I'll believe. No, just trust me. No, I trust Jesus. It ain't got nothing personal. Don't get mad. Don't get frustrated with me. You don't trust. No, I don't. I don't. Everybody has to take the test. Everybody has to take this test. Believe not. Because sometimes you'll know it's even your family that you should have put the test on. Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, keep in mind, we're still talking about love. The Bible says here in verse 2, hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. He says, listen, let me give you one of the markers. You can tell by their speech. He said, I want you to observe their speech. You can tell by their speech where they come from. So I should be able to hear how you talk to whether or not you come from God. And if the conversation is always carnal, if the conversation is never spiritual, then this is a dangerous place. This is a dangerous place to be. Because if there is a time where you need to hear from God, if God is not in you, then guess what's not coming out? If God's not in you, God is not coming out. And if you're thirsty for love, if you're thirsty for God, then you're going to end up starving. You're going to end up starving. I made this, and I'll make this point again. And I'm gonna be real. I was having this conversation with somebody, but I said I would share it here. And I'm going to say this again. So when you hear it again, I just need you to say, preachers are in a very dangerous place, because for many of you, you only see me up here delivering a word. That's it. Some of you don't know what size I ate for dinner. You don't know what my Tuesdays are like or my Thursdays are like. You only see me here giving the word. If you're thirsty for the word, then you don't want nobody messing with this time, because this is the only time of the week that you get to receive the word, right? Imagine at work, nobody's talking about God. And imagine at home, you never hear God. And there's no other place where you go where you hear God but when you come here. And the only place that you hear God or someone talking about God comes from me. Now, that's not the case for all people. Some of you have Bible studies and you do other studies and you have other groups and stuff like that. But just think about the majority of church goers. The only time that they hear the word is from me. So here's what problem. Some people will have an affinity for me and ain't got nothing to do with me. It's just that this is the only time that they're going to hear the word being spoken to them and the text broken down.
So then what ends up happening is if anybody messes with this hour or this time, you say, hey, you can go somewhere. I don't care because I need this what? I need this word because you're thirsty not for what I have to say. You're thirsty for what comes through me. Right? You're thirsty for what comes through me. So what ends up happening is all of us are thirsty for God. God created you, and he created an empty spot for himself. Now, why would God create you, and he doesn't make room for himself? So that's why you got people going out in all the world, and they chasing different things, and they're trying to fill that hole, and God says, ah, they miss it. That hole is the hole that I left empty when I created you. So that when you grow up to receive knowledge that you can turn and come after me and then I'll fill it, right? So God purposely did not fill you complete because that room, that space, that cheer in your heart only belongs to him. So love is voluntary. So that's why God says, don't love. He has to tell you don't love. He could have just made his space and just filled it and said, I'm going to make you love me. But that seat has to be filled by you giving an invitation. What God says in the scriptures is, don't give an invitation to anybody but me. So here, I created you, I made you, I breathed into you life. Now I'm going to rear you up. And what I'm waiting for you is, I love you, I made you, but what I'm waiting for you is, I'm waiting for the invitation to come sit in a seat I made in your heart. How difficult it is for God to not get the invitation. How does God feel when he looks in your heart and he sees somebody else sitting in that seat other than him? That has to be extremely painful to God to know that the seat he made for himself, you occupied it with something lesser than him. Right? So now what ends up happening is whoever you put in that seat can never make you fulfilled. That's why you can't make people your God. It's too big of a chair. They will always fail. So, but if the person that is in your life has God in them, then what happens? You're never thirsty. Because God is flowing all through the what? All through the relationship, all through the how. But if you're the only person in your environment that knows God, you could be a good Christian all day long, but every now and then you want to be around some what? Some like-minded speaking saints, right? Because you get, what happens is you end up getting thirsty. Here's the thing, you don't even know you're thirsty. You just start searching. All of a sudden, you start looking for something. You can tell when somebody looking for God because sometimes they go out in the streets. Sometimes you know they're looking for God. When they're out at 2 o'clock in the morning, all you got to say is they're looking for God. Now, they don't know what they're looking for, but they are looking for something. When they're out at 4 o'clock in the morning and they tiptoeing, they're trying to find God. Now, they run into other stuff because other stuff is out there. But what do you already know? You're looking for something. You're hungry for something. And that's when you can never be content. If God is missing in your life, or if God is missing in your connections, then what will happen is you'll never be content. They can be great in all other categories, but if that God is missing, then you'll always have that itch. You'll always be looking for something. You'll always be looking for something. So what ends up happening is people will come to worship and they'll hear God and they'll hear the word of God and they'll be in the scriptures. And then if you're connected to somebody who don't know God, then you say, what you should say is, I went to worship this morning and God and the word of God said such and such. But most people don't say that. Most people say, I went to worship and I heard the what? I heard the preacher. The preacher said this morning, da 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 da. You're supposed to give them book, chapter, and verse. So the preacher said, such and such and such. Hey, we need to, because the preacher said, the preacher said, the preacher said. So what ends up happening is, by the time that he ends up coming to worship with you, and he sits down and worship with you, he already got an attitude. Because I done heard about this man have been speaking in my house all week long. I want to meet this dude that you quoting. But it's really not the preacher. It's just this is the only place I hear God. So by the time that he comes, or by the time that she comes, you get to the point where she, who this dude? I don't even like him. Because I don't know where he's speaking from. So notice, I don't hear God speaking, I hear him speaking. And the reason why I hear him speaking is because I don't know the voice of God. So even if I heard, even if God did speak, I wouldn't know it was God. Do you remember when Saul was walking along the road of Damascus and Jesus spoke and he said, who are you? You don't know Jesus' voice. But I get it, Saul. I know why you don't know Jesus' voice, because you've been running doing other things. Do you remember when Jesus was with the Pharisees and they were going back and forth and he says, my father is of heaven, but your father is of the devil. Remember he was going back and forth. He says, I know who your father is. And he says, no, our father is of Abraham. He said, no, because if God was your father, then you would hear me. Because I come from him. And if you came from him, you would hear him too. And the reason why we arguing, we keep going back and forth, and the reason why we don't see on the same page is because God is not in you. Jesus says, I hear his voice. And God speaks through me. And if God was in you, you would shout. You would get excited for the things that I'm saying, because you know the things that I'm saying come from God. But you just think I got an attitude, and you just think I saw something on Oprah and I want to make some changes. But if you realize who God was, you would realize the moves that I'm making are God moves. But if you don't recognize God moves, maybe because God is not in you. God is not in you. So notice what he says. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. Even now already in the world, your speech is off. Verse 4, very quickly. You are of God, little children. Notice the role. Remember, there was two things in order to love God. One is you have to be willing to be educated. And number two, you have to take the role of a child. You cannot put yourself in a position to where you're on the same level as God, or you feel like your ways, or you lean into your own understanding. So notice what he calls you. He calls you children, because if you're going to love God, you're going to have to be in that posture. He said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is what? If I have God in me and he's dwelling in me, then greater is he that's in me than anything that I face. Now, if God's in me, whatever I come across or whatever comes my way, what's my reaction? My reaction is based upon what's in me. But what if God is not in you? Your moves are not God moves. Y'all see that? Your moves are not God moves. Because when I realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I'm an overcomer, so I talk victorious. I walk victorious. I make victorious moves because God is there. I speak in a victory tone. Matter of fact, my ringtone is victorious. Because why? Greater is he that is in me. I am an overcomer, so the love that's in me doesn't allow me to see problems the way you see problems. Right? The Bible says here, they are of the world. Look at the distinction between verse 4 and 5. They are of the world, therefore they what? You can tell. The speech is off. The speech is, when something real bad happens, you know, I know we all have bad moments, but when something real bad happens, you don't expect somebody who has God to speak like this. Well, I guess that's it. I don't know I guess it's over. I don't know what we're going to do, because it looked like we just need to just quit, because I don't see how we're going to make it over this. What did the doctor say? That's a wrap. That's a wrap for you.
How would you feel if somebody came and visited you in the hospital and you had a diagnosis? And somebody said, oh, that's it. I ran into the doctor on the way in, and he said, yeah, that's it for you. So you want us to, I don't even know what we need to do. What would you tell that person? I don't think you need to be here. Because God people don't talk like this. Well, somebody says, I don't know what to say. I get why you don't know what to say. Because God's not in you. Because if God is in you, you would know. Hey, no. We're going to pray. We reject that. I know what God can do. That's victory talk. That's victory talk. Well, somebody says, I don't give them too much hope. Faith is the substance of things. And you trying to take away my hope? I cast you out of this room. Because why? You can't fake the speech. That's why it's so important to listen. It's so important to listen. If you listen long enough, you'll find out if a dog is a dog, a cat is a cat, a snake is a snake, a bird is a bird. The speech will betray them. I don't care if even they look something different. Just listen to the speech. You want to know if somebody is spiritual? You got to start talking God talk. Hey, what was that other guy's name? Nadab and who? And I gave you the hint when I said the who. Somebody said, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. You can tell by the speech. I can tell who's really in the rap. I can tell who's really in the rap because all you got to do is throw out a few things and they'll go with you. Well, who your top five? Okay. Well, first of all, and they get excited. But when I come and talk to you about God, you don't get excited. I just test your spirit. Your spirit is off. I can talk about rap and you get real excited and start talking about your favorite bars. But when I ask you what your favorite verses are, you can't tell me God's favorite bars. You can't tell me God. You can't tell me God's speech. Then that lets me know something is what? We don't test. Sometimes we get disappointed with saints in the church. But you never tested them. Because anybody can walk in here and say, I'm a Christian. Anybody can walk in with a Bible. And anybody can go to the other side of the store and get church clothes. Anybody can do it. But when church is in you and God is in you, I don't care if you, matter of fact, you can come in here with street clothes, but we could tell by your spirit you know that Bible. Have anybody ever walked up on you and they didn't know how much Bible you knew? They were trying to convert you, but they didn't know how much Bible you knew? I remember I was out doing some yard work or something like that, and I was running errands that day. So I didn't look like a preacher. I didn't look like a preacher. Somebody came in, and I said, oh, really? Oh, I said, your Bible? I said, okay, yeah, I'm familiar. And they start going on, well, you know, you said, I said, okay. I said, do you mind if I show you something? They said, sure, you want me to show? I said, I think I remember. Hey. Turn to, and I just got to rolling, and the person backed up and say, okay, I didn't know you knew your Bible. Why? Because it's in your speech. But it can't be in your speech if it's not something that you dive in and spend time in. It will be on you. The Bible says they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We have a few more verses. We're going to go to verse 8, and we'll close. Look at verse 6. We are of God. They are of the world. Verse 5, we are of God. If you want to underline that in your Bible. They are of the world. There are clear indications of those who are in the world. We are of God, and he that knoweth God, what? Hears us. I keep going back to speech. Hears us, and he that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. Everybody that loves like God listens to God. Now, there are some people, I want to say this real quick. There are some people who don't love God, because remember the definition of love, John 14:15. If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. Now, anybody, there are two reasons why a person wouldn't love God. Some people, this category A, some people don't love God because they don't know how to love God. They're not taught. They were not taught. They don't know how to love God. They're trying to love God to the best of their ability. They just don't know how. There is a second category of people who don't love God. The second category of people, they actually know how to love God. They just choose not to. Both are disobedient. Both are being disobedient, but one receives a greater condemnation. And here are those who receive a greater condemnation. When you know what God wants, but you choose to show him hate instead of love. You love him. Obedience is love to God. Obedience is love to God. Every time you're obedient, you are putting up an aroma before God. Every time you walk away from sin, every time you hang up the phone, every time you turn away from your temptation, every time you stand up when everybody else is laying down, every time that you leave when everybody stays and about to have fun, every time that you say, you know what, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to get involved in that, every time you turn away from ungodliness, that's an aroma you are sending up to God. I love you. How would you feel if every 5 minutes somebody sent you a text message, I love you. I love you. Sis was like, calm down. But you don't know what God wants. God wants for you to choose him every hour on the hour of every day, of every week, of every month. I want to hear you tell me you love me. Not by your speech. I want to see it. You will strip the confidence that God has in you when your movements don't show love. Because we can sing real good. We can shout real good. We can tell God, oh, I love you. And we can praise his name. But when your behavior doesn't look like your speech, what did Jesus say? Their lips, they honor me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from, what is he saying? What they say don't match what they do. So I don't care what you say, you don't love me. How you say you don't love? Because I just saw what you do. And what you do already communicates no love. There are two types of people who don't love God. Those who don't know and they are not educated. But the most dangerous group is not this group. The most dangerous group are those who actually know what to do and where to go to love him and just choose not to. Now that's painful. When you can choose to love God, but you just decide not to love God because there's something else that you chose to pursue. Now, the love of God that forgives you after you turned your back on him is amazing. That's a love that makes no sense. Because for some of us, you got 1.5 times to turn your back, and we start taking love back. We be like, hey, that's a wrap. No. Hey, and don't let me see you. Don't let me catch you. I call your name, and then you turn around and go somewhere else. Because there's only two real lovers in the world. Either you're going to love God or you're going to love the prince of this world, Satan. So every time you don't choose God, you're telling God, I'm considering another lover. So imagine, and notice this, the devil can't even fight with God. The devil is an angel. God is sovereign. They're not even on the same level. So imagine, even what you're picking is even beneath him. It's not that you're picking a greater power, or it's not that you're even picking an equal power. You know how people say God and Satan? You need to quit saying God and Satan. They're not fighting each other. They're not on the same level as one another. So you're picking something that God has already cast out. So why would God want to be with you when who you're with is somebody he's already rejected? So I can't be with you.
Because the person that you're kicking it with or the person that you entertain is somebody I've already rejected. So that's why the Bible says no man can serve what? No man. You're going to have to make a choice of who you're going to love. You're going to have to make a choice, because entertaining somebody that God no longer entertains causes you to already make your choice. So he says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. I know that you know God by how you treat me. I know how, and notice this, you don't have to treat me bad to know or to show that you don't know God. I could just tell that if your ways are not God's ways, your thoughts are not God's thoughts, your speech is not of no, then you can have a sincere heart but still be dangerous, because you're not loving the way God has taught us to love. That spirit will say, hey, I don't care if you do wrong, I don't care if you do this, or it don't matter. I got you. I got to get away from that person. The person that tells me, look, we're almost at verse 8. The person that tells me, Brother Williams, it don't matter what you've done. You could do right, you could do wrong, you could do all, hey, regardless, I always got your back. I got to say, nah, we can't be close. Somebody said, well, why we can't be close? Because if I'm doing wrong and you still got my back, then you're a liability. I need somebody who's going to sound the alarm and let me know when I've gotten off track. You're more beneficial in my life than the person who not only sees me going wrong, but is going to keep it quiet and cover it up. You're a servant of the devil. The devil loves you in my life. And the reason why the devil loves you in my life is because you're the ones that keep me going wrong longer. You think you got my back, I ain't gonna say nothing. That ain't love. That you got a wrong definition. Don't call that love. Don't call it, maybe you got my back as we all go to eternal damnation. But that ain't love. Call it something else. Because proper love doesn't boast or rejoice in evil. It doesn't entertain wrong. But if you don't know your word, you don't even know how to correct me or what scripture to go to or where to lead me if I begin to go astray. The love that we have with one another, if any one of our saints leave the faith, our love should be so toxic that they miss the fellowship, so they would have to leave that life and come back to love. If somebody left our faith and you still hanging out with them and saying, hey, listen, it don't matter if, you know, you left Jesus, if church ain't your thing anymore, but hey, you still my friend, that ain't love. Because you can't be my friend and leave Jesus at the same time. So what my friendship should be, my friendship should have salvation in it. My friendship should have salvation in it. Because for you to be friends with me, you would have to get reconnected with Christ. That's how close I am to Christ. So this is gonna it's gonna be a connection. It's a train. It's a locomotive. We all gonna link on together. I'm holding Jesus' hand, and if you wanna hold my hand, you're gonna have to hold Jesus' hand too. My friendship has salvation in it. My relationship should have salvation in it. We know who's born of God. The Bible says, by how we love one another. Last verse, we're in verse 8. And the scripture says, he that loveth not doesn't know God. He that doesn't love in this way doesn't know God. What are we watching? We're watching for behavior. How is and this may be something for us to explore later on, how does a Christian supposed to act? We talked about a whole lot of things in the last series. We talked about cursing. We talked about drinking. We talked about just different activities and different things that we do, how we talk to one another. We've been talking about forgiveness. We've been talking about having a shepherd's heart. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, it should be good indicators of how a Christian should act. But when somebody doesn't act that way, doesn't mean that you cast them off. They may be learning, they may be growing, they may be trying to be. But what does that tell you about your proximity to them? We got to keep a certain distance. And the reason why we got to keep a certain distance is because you don't know God. So I can't link up with you and you don't know God. We can't be tightly connected together and you don't know God. Because when it's time to turn right, you asking too many questions. Right is righteous. Right? We shouldn't. Somebody say, hey, it's Wednesday night. Somebody says, so? Hey, I'm finna get ready. You grabbing your Bible. Somebody said, where you going? I'm going to Bible class. Oh, you going again? Speech. Your speech is off. Your speech. I need something. Because if God is in you, I should never have to force you to pray. If God is in you, it should never be a struggle to read your Bible. Even if you have fallen off from reading your Bible, when somebody says it, you don't even get mad at them. You say, you know what, thank you. You're right. I need to get back in the Word. Matter of fact, you're thankful for the encouragement. If God is in this place and God is in you, it's never a struggle to go visit somebody or pray with somebody or encourage somebody or send somebody a scripture or one of our saints, they haven't been to worship in like 6 weeks and we need a few saints. We finna go get them. Somebody said, well, they'll be all right. They come back whenever they want. I need somebody with God in them to get on the bus. Everybody shouldn't get on the bus. When if God is in you, then there are some things that are easy. If God is in you, what you doing next Sunday should never be a conversation among saints. You going to worship next Sunday? Is next? That should never be a conversation. That should never be a conversation. Hey, are you going to? If I have to have that conversation, it's only going to be with Bishop. It's only going to be with children. But if it's with like saints, then something's wrong. Why do we need to talk about this? Why do we need to go through this? Because I believe sometimes we get hurt because we put people in the wrong place. And when you put people in the proper place, then I know how to deal with you. And I know where not to go. And I know what not to talk about. We can't even talk about Canaan land if we're struggling with Bible class. Is that right? We can't talk about Canaan land if we struggling with Bible class. And somebody says, hey, you want to come hang out? You know what? I've really tried to, but I realize we're not on the same page. What do you do when you got different people on different pages? You read it from a completely different script. As a church, the reason why we study, the reason why we encourage you to come, the reason why we want you to get in the Word, because it's important for us to all get on the same page. Because when trouble hits our doors, you're going to want many saints to move in the same direction. You want us to all speak the same. And when they say, hey, it's time for prayer, you want people in the room who actually believe in prayer and believe in the voice of God, believe in the power of God. I don't want, in the time of a storm, I don't want anybody saying, well, it's been nice knowing you. I don't think God gonna get us out of this one. I don't need to be in no foxhole with you. Life, and I'm done. Life is extremely short. Life is extremely short. Be careful of your ties, your connections. From your businesses, from your friends, from your relationships, from your families, be careful of all your ties because they are only doing two things. They are either draining you and taking you further away from God, or they're bringing you closer to God. Relationships only do two things. They either pull you away from God, even people who don't intend to, But they're either pulling you away from God or they're pulling you closer to God. So as you go throughout this week, find love and run to it. At the end of the verse, it says, God is what? Find love. And I'm trying to tell you, if you find love, don't you ever let it go. If you find love, then you run to it because God is there. And if you see God, then you run there and you hold on for dear life. You feed it, you nourish it, you cherish it, because a connection with God will always bless you. It will always bless you. But sometimes we're attracted to things of the world. You gotta test your attractions.
Yes, sir.
But to be attracted of things of God, oh, that'll bless your walk. That'll bless your life. That'll give you a peace. That'll give you a calmness to know, hey, listen, if I'm going to be on the boat, let me be on the boat with some saints so we can sing about how God's going to come through. Don't know how, don't know. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It may be hot, but we're going to walk around.
Amen.
You didn't have Shadrach in the corner talking about it's hot in here. I don't want to be here. I don't even want. We ain't supposed to even be in here. No, everybody got in line. And the Bible says everybody was what? Everybody was walking around. And when they were walking around with that God connection, the Bible says Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
And Jesus started walking with them. That's the power of a God. If you find God, run to God.
Amen.
Main question is God in you? And if God ain't in you, then what is? And if you find something taking the seat that God is supposed to, you need to evict whatever is in you that's not of God, and you need to pursue God. Sometimes all of our relationships are carnal because actually you're carnal. Sometimes all of our connections are ungodly because really you're ungodly. But if you purify that and you make, God, I don't want you to be afraid to live in me. Some houses you step in, you don't know what you're going to find. You're afraid, scared. Stuff start moving. It ain't supposed to be moving. But when God, when you look at me, I don't want you to be afraid to live in me. I don't want you to feel like I'm going to abandon you or make you live with something that is against your nature. I really do want this to be your home. I pray that you have the same prayer. If there's anyone on the sound of my voice, if there's anything that you need to repent of, maybe there's some things that you need to let go. Maybe you do need to run after God. Maybe your speech is off. Maybe your walk is off. Maybe your desire is off. This is the opportunity to run to him. Now, if anyone that desires a relationship with God, we're asking you to run to him by believing that he died, buried, and rose again. If you'll be willing to repent and confess he is the Son of God and be willing to be baptized, then all your sins can be washed away. You'll have the opportunity to connect with God in an intimate way. The invitation is given to you. Together, stand and sing a verse.